It's time now for the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club. Welcome to the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club with Bill and Jenny Sparks, Dave and Chris Rieckert, Tim Ani, and the crew. Bill will be taking your phone calls, and you will hear lots of conversation. We will have cooking tips, demonstrations of products, and much, much more.
And you may reach us by calling 1-646-558-8656. You will need the meeting ID 848-725-450. And when you're asked for a user ID, just press pound. You may download Zoom from the Play Store or the App Store.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Sparks.
Well, a very good morning from a very cold Indianapolis. I'm still on Florida time. I'm all mixed up here. Notice just walking around the house since we got home yesterday. I want to do it in the Florida way, or it's just totally different. But I'm not complaining. I'm home. I'm back here. And here we are. Good morning, Jennifer downstairs.
Good morning. Going to be 50 degrees today.
Jeff, how are you doing, buddy?
I can't complain. And even if I had something to complain about, no one would really listen.
Let's switch it over to you, Tim, now that you've chimed in with the comment.
Well, it's nice weather here. It's supposed to get up to 45 again today.
Altoona, Pennsylvania, where hopefully they're still here. They're awaiting the cable man to cut the cable.
We're here. Still here.
And it's cold out there. It's 28. It was 22 when I got up this morning, but no snow. And we're supposed to have sunshine, which we had yesterday, and we haven't seen it in a very long time. We thought somebody got rid of it.
Mike Loft's got some very, very interesting news.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, well, good morning, everyone. Just thought we'd cover some access technology-related news, because we usually do that here on the Coffee Club. So we'll do that first, and then we'll go into our other topics. I also have an audio demo that I'm going to play. I made, real quickly, just demoing the new NFB Newsline feature that you can use now on your Amazon Echo. So if you have Amazon devices, you might want to, push the little button to disable them or get yourself away from them, because I'm going to say the A word a few times to make that happen. But let's talk about some things that are going on. One announcement that came out Monday, that as of now, the United Nations General Council, they passed a resolution to declare January 4th as World Braille Day. So, of course, that happens to fall on Louis Braille, however you want to say his name, his birthday. Of course, he was the superintendent of the school I went to for the blind in Illinois, among many other accomplishments. The main one, the honoring, of course, the invention creation of Braille, which has been used for, I think, about 200 years. And he was the superintendent of the school, I think, around 1850 or something like that, going way, way, way back. But so anyway, now January 4th will be World Braille Day, and the World Blind Union is one that created the resolution to make that happen. And the hope is to promote Braille as literacy, and we won't go into that today. Some people feel that if you can't read Braille, that you're not literate, and if you're totally blind. But we'll leave that for another day and another debate. But so that should be a big thing, and hopefully we'll see what it actually means in the real world to promote education of Braille, but more importantly, the use of it for people, and especially they're talking, places like Africa. If they don't have that, they just don't learn to read at all. They're just, if they're able to go to school at all, they just sit in and there's no participation. So hopefully World Braille Day will promote more literacy and more opportunities for the blind, but that's going on. Both JAWS and NVDA did screen reader updates on Sunday and Monday, and JAWS, of course, is the December update, they call it, but it's for their 2019 product. I don't know exactly what was addressed. They just said bug fixes, things that weren't covered in the original beta cycle, and some things that people pointed out since the initial release, which I think was on Halloween or somewhere around there. Bill says it loads faster or runs faster. I ran it the other day. It seemed to be doing a little bit better, so I'm glad they're addressing speed improvements. That's important. NVDA, the 2018.4, and really the big thing that I noticed was even more improved browser support, especially with Firefox, with loading of large pages, the ability to automatically update and speak when there's dynamic changes on those pages. That's the way a lot of them work now. You make one change and a part of the page changes or refreshes, but not the whole page. And NVDA is doing a great job of reading that, dealing with large pages, and improved support for drop downs for some of those tricky drop downs that maybe some of you deal with, where especially like buy a bus ticket or airplane ticket, you know, where you have a date picker and you do a drop down and it gives you options based on the first few letters that you type. So lots of improvements there. So check that out, NVDA 2018.4. Another thing I want to talk about. She is in Pennsylvania. Her name is Mel Scott, and she's had a company for the last 5 years called Blind Alive, also known as, or maybe it's a separate, I'm not sure, one, Eyes Free Fitness. But you can get, she's closing the business. I'm not sure what all issues. She just said it's too much for her, and there may be some health issues, but regardless, whatever's happening, she is, while she was certainly trying to make money with it, her biggest passion was to help blind people to exercise. And you know, many of us live a sedentary lifestyle. So what she's doing since she's closing the business is now until or through December 31st, you can get all of the exercise programs that she's created. They're all in audio format. That's why she did it, because, you know, the ones video you couldn't follow or know what to do, what moves to make. But all of those are free now through December 31st. So you go to blindalive.com, and right on the front page, there are downloads for 22 different exercise programs. So there's gentle workouts, she's got weights, yoga, Pilates, and you know, balance, meditation. So whatever you're into, if that's something you think you'll use, and by all means, go over there and grab those. There's a donation button if you want to support her. You have the means to do so. She's worked very hard, and a lot of people involved with that. Lisa Salinger, many others, some trainers that gave their talents to make that happen. So by all means, take advantage of that, because that's only good for another 10 days or so through the 31st of the month at blindalive.com. And one thing we wanted to talk about, this was announced on December 5th, but I think a little prematurely. It wasn't supposed to be announced just yet because it wasn't quite ready. And I think there's still a little bit of work to do. It's going to be a work in progress. I've been working on this for probably a year and a half. And that is the skill that's been added to the Amazon Echo for its purpose is NFB Newsline. But the skill, they had to give it a name that it would clearly recognize and not get confused with other words. So it ends up being called National Federation. That's how you listen to Newsline. So I created a 6.5 minute demo to kind of show you a few things, you know, how to make use of it. So we'll play that now, and then we'll move on to other things. But check this out. Hello, this is Michael Loff, and today I'm going to do a brief demo of the new skill for your Amazon Echo. It is called National Federation, and its purpose is to allow you to access the NFB Newsline. To hear a demo of it, you can hear the most recent December 2018 President's Message, which, by the way, you can hear the most recent version at any time by simply saying, Alexa, play Presidential Release Podcast.
Getting the latest episode of National Federation of the Blind Presidential Releases, English. Here it is from TuneIn.
Live the life you want. Nobody can stop you.
Alexa, stop. I just stopped you, but by all means, live the life you want. Okay, let's take a look at how to use this Newsline app. You will have to enable it on every Amazon device the first time you use it. So I don't recall the exact prompt that it gives you, but it does tell you what to say, and you will definitely need your 6-digit ID and your 4-digit PIN to activate it. So if you don't have that yet, if you're not a current user of the NFB Newsline, the first thing you're going to have to do is sign up for the service. nfb.org/newsline or nfbnewsline.org. So let's give it a play. Let's see what it can do. Alexa, open National Federation.
Welcome to NFB Newsline. Hello, Mike Laff. What would you like to read?
List papers from Indiana.
You can choose from the following options. Option 1 is latest news and time-sensitive information. Option 2 is agencies, programs, and services serving the blind. Option 3 is Anderson Herald Bulletin. Option 4 is Associated Press Indiana. Option 5 is College and University Disability Student Services. Option 6 is Evansville Courier Press. Option 7 is Fort Wayne Journal Gazette. Option 8 is Herald Times. Option 9 is Independent Living. employment, and training. Option 10 is Indiana Reading Resources. Option 11 is Indiana State Government. Option 12 is Indianapolis Business Journal. Option 13 is Indianapolis Monthly. Option 14 is Indianapolis Recorder. Option 15 is Indianapolis Star.
Alexa, option 15.
Welcome back to NFP News, brought to you by the National Federation of the Blind, along with state sponsors.
Ask National Federation to speak a little slower.
She describes hearing a freight train. Residents evacuate from their Ayers Road and Port Orchard. Watch.
Alexa, ask National Federation to speak a little slower.
One family was inside when it happened. They were home, but they were a little rattled. Jolie say, Matthew said. Matthew said she had to evacuate her home because of a gas leak. Butch found little damage, other than the fact that our fence blew down, which was no big deal. If there was, I don't care, because I have a home still standing, she said. The Kitsap County Sheriff's
Alexa,
Office
tweeted. Ask National Federation to go to the next section.
The obituary section of the Indianapolis Star. There are 22 articles in this section. Article 1, Bet. Hot Betty L. Hot Indianapolis. Betty Lou. Jerome. Hot. 89. Of Indianapolis. Then passed away.
Alexa,
15,
ask National Federation to change voices.
Betty graduated from Shortridge High School and was an employee of Omgrave Realtors, Charles L.
Alexa,
Walker, K.R.
Ask National Federation to change voice.
He is survived by his loving wife, Donna R. Walker, and their children, Kathy
Alexa,
Little, Tom, and...
Ask National Federation to change voice.
He was a member of Mystic Thai Lodge number 398, a Scottish Rite Mason, and severed as Sovereign Prince of the Syria Council of Jerusalem from 1980 to 1982.
Alexa,
one of
ask National Federation to change voice.
Sanibel Island was where he spent many winters enjoying the warm weather, friends, and family coming and going.
Alexa,
one true
ask National Federation to change voice.
A funeral service will be held at Northminster Presbyterian Church, 1660 Kessler Boulevard East Drive, Indianapolis, and 46,220 on Friday, December 21st at 11:30 a.m. with a calling from 10:30 to 11:30. You may make a memorial contribution to the late
Alexa,
mom of the area. Can
ask National Federation to email me this article.
You do not have an email address on record. Contact us to correct the issue.
Alexa, ask National Federation to list papers from Indiana.
You can choose from the following options. Option 1 is latest news and time-sensitive information. Option 2 is agencies, programs,
Alexa,
and services.
Option 1.
Reading in latest news and time-sensitive information in the advocacy and legislation section of the latest news and time-sensitive information. There are 5 articles in this section. Article 1, Access Technology Affordability Act. We are up to 84 co-sponsors in the House and 12 in the Senate for the Access Technology Affordability Act.
Alexa,
I am calling to
ask National Federation to read the Evansville Courier Press.
Reading in Evansville Courier Press dated December 18, 2018, in the front page section of the Evansville Courier Press. There are 3 articles in this section. Article 1, Councilman faces backlash after criticizing drag story Progra. Second March, Evansville Courier and Press, USA Today Network. Evansville 5th Ward City Councilman Justin Elpers has received backlash after a Facebook post he made criticizing a program involving drag queens went viral last week. EVPL North Park is sponsoring an event where men dressed up as lawmen will be reading to young children. The target age is up to 11 years old. The Evansville Vanderburg Public Library is beginning a new program early next year, Drag Queen Story Hour. During the event, drag queens will facilitate sing-alongs, help children with craft projects, and read children's stories. The amended ordinance would
Alexa,
allow the city's human rights...
ask National Federation to go to the next section.
In the news section of the Evansville Courier Press, there are 17 articles in this section. Article 1, Air Fryer's Trendiest Gift and Kitchen Appliance. Amy Bloom, Evansville Courier and Press, USA Today Network. New Harmony looking for a gift for the cook and the family? The newest rage in small kitchen appliances is the air fryer. The super compact, super powerful mini convection ovens make short work of foods you'd usually bake, grill, or deep fry using a minimum of oil and with a minimum of cleanup. Air fryers replace your microwave, toaster oven, grill, and regular oven. It replaces your skillet or panini maker if you make toasted sandwiches. The large 5.3-quart model even comes with a baking pan for cake or cobbler. Some other fun items they've made in air fryers are okra chip.
Stop. That's just a few of the capabilities of the new Alexa skill, allowing you to hear Newsline on your Amazon Echo device. Again, it is called National Federation, and you ask Lady A to open National Federation. It is not fully featured just yet, but they are adding functions to it all of the time, and we look forward to a document outlining all, or at least many more, of the voice commands. For the Legend Coffee Club, this is Michael Loff.
Mike, does it remember the voice that you had set when you go to into it next time?
Yes, I think it will. Yeah.
That's good, because I like the AT&T voices, some of the other voices, better than that synthesized speech, but I'm just curious.
Different voices for different people.
That, well, that's true.
And that was a very, very good demo, Michael. Very, very interesting. I think it'll open Newsline to more and more more people. And I think that's the purpose behind it.
Now, will Jennifer use it? Jennifer, will you use that?
Actually, I would probably be more likely to use it that way than using the app on my phone. I used to use the app on my phone all the time, and I don't really like it that well on the Victor stream. So, yeah, I probably will use it.
As opposed to using a telephone, because people still use the phone for it, but I think it's a lot nicer when you use it this way.
I was going to mention, it comes up with the voice that you used on the regular phone, or at least mine does.
Yeah, the default voice that you had set on the phone. Yeah. I don't know, Jeff, to answer your question. You guys will remember, like if I switched it to Cater Paul and I went back in, I think it may go back to the default. Tim, I think, uses it quite a bit, so maybe he can add more comments.
But I haven't played around with that part of it that much. I mean, I usually leave it on my voice.
I like that. We will use that. Jeff, do you know, Mike, do you know if it does TV yet?
No, it does not do TV listings.
Nope.
Not yet. Yeah. It's going to, but it doesn't. They had a lot of problems making it work with this. And they're also, it's going to have support Google at some point. So, but no TV.
It's still a work in progress, but it's still a good idea. I mean, I kind of like it myself. And if I can get it to work with my Amazon Tap as well, which it should, I think it would be pretty nice, Chris. I like that.
The problem it has now, if you get commands wrong and it doesn't like it, it switches and starts playing an Audible book. Have you noticed that, Tim? I've had that happen a few times to me.
So did you have to link the skill in the...
No, you don't have to use your phone app at all.
No,
you just tell it to open the National Federation, and if you're not connected to it yet, it tells you there's certain command you got to say, and then put in your code and your PIN. And so, no, you don't have to touch the phone at all. They worked a lot to make sure that wasn't a barrier, because I know a lot of blind folks don't have iPhones. So
I like that.
Yeah, and I forgot my code and PIN, and I can tell you right now, if you call the NFB, they will help you out with that. So that's not a problem.
Yep, that's no problem at all.
It's not a problem at all. Michael, do you have any other...
No, I think that's it from here. I can't think of anything else. There's other little things, but those are the AT-related news items, the last stuff I've heard for the year. So we can.
I have only one news item, Bill, and that's for those who live in New York State who do listen to the Coffee Club, and I know there are people who do. Spectrum Cable, which is what we have for our cable, it's owned by Charter Communications, was... let's go back a few months ago when New York State threatened to expel Charter Communications from New York State. That didn't happen, and they've been wrangling and wrangling. There's a new settlement now. The big thing that happened in New York State is that people who were paying for higher internet speed were not getting the speed that they were paying for, and Spectrum is going to be sending individuals affected. About 800,000 people, I think, Mike, you said, of checks either for $75 or $150, depending on the affected service. And they're also going to be giving everyone free premium services that weren't free before. I don't know what those are, but I guarantee it's probably not HBO or Showtime or the movie channel. But some premium services that were not free before will be given to people who have Spectrum cable. So be aware of that. And if you guys are visually impaired, you may get some inserts in your regular mail, your snail mail, about this. So be careful what you read in your snail mail, especially if they send you a check. Don't destroy it because you don't know what it is. I'm hoping that they just take it off my bill. But if they send me a check, they send me a check. But that's what's new there. Well,
all right. Daniel Moore would like to talk, and we want to talk to him about his multiple disabilities. Dan, are you still here?
Oh, yes. I've been sitting here, and I actually enjoyed the demonstration of the NFB Newsline. Although I found one of the things before I get into my thing that I found interesting is, that the NFB Newsline, one of the voices sounds exactly like the NOAA weather radio voices they have now.
It is. That's because it is, Dan.
It is? So it is exactly... Oh, wow. Okay, well, because I thought it was eerily similar, so I was like, am I listening to a Newsline or a tornado warning here? So anyways, going into what I wanted to discuss here today, when usually after our sister show, ATR Extra, I usually stick around and try to chat with some of the other panelists for a little while, just to try to get to know them and try to, get to know them better and stuff like that. And when I tell them that I have autism, I get a lot of people who say, there's no way you have autism as well as your visual impairment. You don't sound like you have autism. Well, it comes in many forms. I have the higher functioning version, which is called Asperger's syndrome. And excuse me, I gotta I got just a second here. Hold on.
You're listening to the coffee. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, my sinuses were getting a little blocked up for a second. I do apologize. So when people ask about that, I'm doing a lot better than I used to. So it's not even noticeable to a lot of our listeners. So those who listen to this show and listen to ATR Extra, I just wanted to put that out there as something.
Tell people what Asperger's syndrome is? If there are people who may not really know what it is. I know people who do. I know someone who does have it. But can you just tell people who may not know what it is?
So it's basically high functioning autism, which in retrospective means I don't function so on a social level that everybody else does, and I can't read social cues or anything. And when you're visually impaired like I am, trying to read social cues and trying to pick up on things as well as the autism, that's a double whammy, and that's how sometimes how it becomes even more difficult. And then when you get into the real thick of it, at the end of the day, there could be days where I may not even be, going out and doing anything because, I may have had a hard week or something living with this. It's very tough to live with, but I make an effort every day to, talk to you guys and to listen to what you all have to say, especially when we do like this show or ATR Extra. And so I like to ask our listeners, if you have any questions, I'm going to have Bill give the numbers for this one because it's different than ATR Extra. But if you have any questions, feel free to call this show. I would love to answer your questions.
Okay. And we do have a hand raised by either Joe or Ellen.
Oh, hi, this is Joe. I'm just curious, the television show, The Doctor, he is autistic. Now, of course, we can't analyze it whether or not he has, he obviously has the higher functioning autism case. Anyway, it's a first time that I know of as far as a national dramatic show on TV when that disability is displayed. Do you have any thoughts, or have you heard the show?
I've heard of the show. I watched only little bits and pieces of it. Like I said, it's one of the things I tend to do is I don't watch newer shows. I like to watch a lot of old shows like the Dick Van Dyke Show and Dragnet and the Andy Griffith Show and stuff like that. And this is going to give a clue to how old I am to some of our audience members, but I'm 25 and I watch these shows because I grew up watching these shows, and so I hardly ever watch primetime television.
You have an interest in radio. Do you think that does listening to radio and reading about radio seem to help you at all?
Yes, because when we're all doing ATR Extra and doing that show, that's where I can actually spill my stuff. Because if I'm talking to just Joe Q Public or even my own parents, they don't understand the ins and outs of what I'm talking about. Talking to you guys, I feel more understood, and I'm able to even sometimes get clarification on things that in reality, sometimes I'm even going, huh, at the end of the article.
Anyone else have any questions? It could *9, raise your hand if you have a question, and you're welcome to certainly participate. Dan, I think that you're talking about it, which most people don't talk about this particular disability very often. And you have done a very good service for those people who aren't aware of it. And for those people who may have Asperger's syndrome, I have a friend of mine who was a ham radio operator whose daughter has Asperger's, and they do have some challenges, but she is living a very normal life. She works at a clothing store in Albany, New York, and she does very well for herself. And she doesn't socialize very well at times, but she's a great kid. And I've known her for at least 10, 12 years. So I think what you've talked about is very laudable, Dan, and very proud of you for talking about your disability and being as open as you have been about it.
Well, and this is not the only radio show I've been open about it on. I was actually on a station in San Francisco, California, talking about it too. It was KSFO during their morning show. And this was last year when I did that one. And I wish I had saved the audio to play that for you guys, but unfortunately I don't have that audio.
Very good. Well, thank you, Dan. I know we all appreciate what you've been talking about, and that does give you a certain certainly a challenge in your life of being visually impaired and also having this particular challenge. Over to you, Bill.
So,
oh, go ahead.
Is it a challenge to you to go, like when you go out in public and there's so much noise and things going on, does that bother you? I know some people that have autism, they say the noise of being around people and the sensory overload of it gets to them.
No, actually, it doesn't really get to me as bad. The only problems I have is when I'm trying to, socialize in public. And sometimes if I'm trying to say something and trying to fit into the conversation, I feel like sometimes I'm not even being heard. heard and I'm being ignored, and then I just kind of go off and do my own little thing. And one of the things I am going to share, and this is going to be kind of crazy to some of the people on here, because not only do I enjoy radio and television stations and reading all the headlines of the business, but I also enjoy, you know, parking garages and riding elevators, and I also enjoy doing the job that I do.
We have a 320 area code who is asking a question. Go ahead, please. Who raised hand?
Yes, my name is Gail, and I have a relative that is autistic, not really high functioning, but what's the difference really between autism and Asperger's?
You know what? Oh, go ahead. Finish
the question.
Is there a
huge difference, or is it? I'm curious.
Okay, so that's been a subject that's been up for debate forever, and I've been reading into it too, because some people say, well, Asperger's is one thing. No, Asperger's is part of autism. So basically, you're asking a question that's, you know, a very correct question to ask, because even I wouldn't know the answer to that. So, but in my opinion, I would say Asperger's and autism are all in the same thing. Now, I have a question for you, you know, and I'm going to try not to be personal on the air. Does this friend of yours or your daughter,
this is a relative of mine. My
okay.
niece's son, oldest niece's and her husband's oldest son has Asperger's, and it has been a trial.
My question is then, you know, I mean, well, how old is he? Well, let's start there. That might help.
He is in his teens. He's 18 years old, but I also feel nothing was done for him for how many umpteen years, and now they've got all these problems and mm-hmm. everything mm-hmm. and everything that happened to him, you know, it was cute when he was little,
and nowadays it's not as cute anymore, and it's scary. Well,
and it's scaring them, and it's, they don't know what to do, but they don't, I don't know how to explain it.
I was gonna say,
so the best way to explain this is they don't know what to do, so they don't do anything. Yeah, I've been in that boat before. So I actually, you know, I'm gonna give you a little secret into my life outside of radio. So I actually have a job where I work in one of the local hospitals here in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. But I'm also, you know, as a side note, I'm also a kidney transplant patient. I seeked out the help of my transplant coordinator, and she started helping me get all these services put in place. And one of the services I have right now is I have art therapy. Mm-hmm. So he may actually have some stuff that he doesn't want to tell his parents, but he might feel comfortable telling a therapist.
Okay.
So that may be a start. For all of our other listeners, as a disclaimer, what I'm telling one listener may not work mm-hmm. for your child or your young adult living at home. So do what you think is best and try to look at all sides before making a decision on some of this.
And Dan, aren't there different degrees of Asperger's? I mean, obviously one size doesn't fit all. I mean,
exactly. There's a saying, you meet one person with autism, you meet just one person with autism. You know, no two people are alike. And one more question, and then I should be going.
But we had one Thanksgiving. They came. Well, we went over to my sister and brother-in-law's, and these people that I'm telling you about brought this boy, and he started something about one. You know, the number kept saying the number one or a dollar. I'm not sure what it was, but it started a big fight in the living room. Mm-hmm. And his parents didn't go in and do anything about it. His grandfather, who is my brother-in-law, went in there and had to fix the problem. And I thought, what's wrong with you people?
Dan, obviously you have this disease or this disability. Did your parents recognize it, and did they get you intervention early in life?
You know what? My mom actually, she recognized it, but it took them until I was 13 before I was ever diagnosed. And I'm going to give a little secret. Yeah, so I'm going to give a little secret into this. And one of the things was, when I was actually at my breaking point, when I was hitting 13, 14, 7th grade, 8th grade, where I was considering running away from school.
Oh yeah, he did the same things. He would run away, and then the cops would be after him. Then he met the wrong friends, and he got in trouble with the police. And, mm. and yeah. now he's in some kind of program, and he ran away from that a couple of times.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know, you know, but I'm going to tell everybody this: if you're having issues with something, and you don't know what to do, just seek the help of a medical professional, because you're gonna, you know, I think they'll have all kinds of good advice. It may take two or three attempts to get through, but they always have good advice. And I do have some stuff. I'm also on a waiver too. We can talk about that as we go along.
Now, Daniel, did you have vocational rehabilitation? Did they help you in any way in procuring your job with the hospital?
You know what? So right now my job is more of a volunteer job. If anything else, I don't get paid. But the problem is I have vocational rehabilitation, but I have issues with them because it's kind of a back and forth battle between me and them, because I'm one of those that it's like, you know, don't pull the wool over my eyes type of people. So, you know, I didn't necessarily have the help from vocational rehabilitation that I have now, but I do have, you know, I actually had the help of a social worker who I still have and a transplant coordinator who helped me secure this job and taught me how to, you know, interview for stuff like this.
We have Bill in Chicago, I believe, has a question. And go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I've talked to Dan before from the ATR afterwards. Dan has hit a real good point. His parents didn't start doing anything until 13. I have a niece that works in this field, and that's her whole problem is they'll find out a child has got a autistic or a problem at age 2 or 3 or 4 years old, and the parents think, oh, isn't he cute? Well, the problem is they don't want to admit that there's something wrong with the child because they don't want the rest of the family to think, oh, I've got a child that's got a mental problem or something like that. That's the whole problem. It's the parents usually. It's not the kid itself, because the kid can't advocate himself at 3, 4, 5 years old. So it's the parents. The parents have got to be educated that when your child has a problem, it's just like my wife, she babysat kids for years, and there was a kid lived two doors down that he was mentally retarded, wasn't autistic. He was totally mentally retarded. And my wife recognized it right away and mentioned to the parents that there's something wrong with your child. And they wouldn't admit it until he was probably 13, 14 years old and he got in trouble with the law. And then right away they said, oh, we got to do something about it.
But how many parents of blind children did you know
well,
the same thing?
Yeah, the same thing with blind children. I knew kids when I was in school because I graduated in 60. But I knew kids that went to Indiana school that when they go home for vacation, their parents and sit them in a rocking chair, and you sit there until it's time to eat and time to go to bed, and then you can get up.
I went to the school for the blind in New York, and the school had actually gotten court orders because of the abuse these kids got who were blind, making them stay in school because they weren't getting any, and they weren't doing anything at home with the kids, or they were being beaten by the parents because they couldn't handle the blindness. So it's right. An issue. Mike, you brought up an issue that's very dear to my heart because I have a very good friend whose father was an alcoholic and blamed his mother for his kid's blindness and beat the crap out of the kid and beat the crap out of the mother. So I mean, it's not just the man's disability; it affects all people with disabilities the way you're raised as well. So I mean, it's
right. Right. And I also want to talk, you know, specifically to our higher functioning listeners. And I always invite those, you know, who are high functioning autistic listeners to call in as well. But one of the things I also want to tell you is that if you suspect that you need help, don't fret. Go get it, because help is wonderful. It will change your life for the better. I promise. There may be hard times, but, you know, it will change your life for the better. I can promise you that.
Dan, as I said before, it had to have taken a lot of courage for you. Talking to you on All Things Radio, I don't think anyone would know that you have this particular disability. And I know it had to take a lot of courage for you to be on the show and talk about it. And all of us on the panel would probably say the same thing, that we do appreciate your input here this morning.
Well, yes,
because
it was evening,
it'd be in German time.
Because I talked to Dan on the ATR afterward thing, and I didn't know he was autistic until he admitted to me he was.
Okay, we got 1505. One more time. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, everybody. This is Ellen. We had the same type of issue at the school that I went to here in Alamogordo. We had a kid named Benny, and he was very mentally retarded, and he was basically unteachable. So what they did is they kept him there to the maximum, and then they just graduated him like at 21 just to get him out of there.
It's fair to say anybody's unteachable. I think everybody can be taught something with the right patience and the right, maybe they need extra help and they need somebody to direct them in the right place, but I don't think any school system should be ashamed if they give up on somebody completely. That's terrible.
Jennifer, that wouldn't have happened today because now with the federal laws are going. I have a nephew who has Williams syndrome, and it's a genetic disorder, has to do with a chromosome issue, and he is considered developmentally disabled. And he went through the school system. He's in various day programs. He also works at a supermarket. So today it's not like it was back then.
Well, and that's one benefit of some modern technologies, because there's children today that, you know, don't have the quote unquote typical communication skills. skills and people don't know or haven't devised a means to communicate, much less help work with them on anything. And iPads and some of these tools have shown profound skill sets.
And that's true, because I think the iPad is one of the biggest helps too. And going on back on another thing I was saying earlier was, because the reason why I was thinking about running away from school was I was bullied by both staff and students.
Where did you go to school, Dan?
Indiana School for the Blind.
Okay.
So it was it was tough for me. And so sometimes, when I run into somebody I knew from there, it takes a lot of guts just to talk to them.
Well, and then the Asperger's also causes a problem because of your social skills. And you've said that
exactly, because basically if you it's like I said, you basically mix the Asperger syndrome with the visual impairment, the social skills are pretty much fried. There's a great website that I think all parents who are listening to this program can go to. It's called AspergerExperts.com, and they have all kinds of classes and stuff like that, courses you can take online. It's a lot of useful information. They just put a new book out, and I can't remember the title of it though. I almost bought it yesterday, but I'm glad I did, because it was a little interesting when I was going through my bank statements.
Are you an only child, Dan, or do you have brothers or sisters?
I have an older brother, and I have a boatload of step siblings.
Okay, go ahead, Ellen.
Yeah, I think what happened in Vinny's case, they just didn't have anybody there in that department to help him. So he just basically sat around and just kind of, I don't know.
But then he was in the wrong facility.
Day, I don't know what happened. Yeah.
Right.
Remember, learning disabilities and these disabilities were not, years ago, Mike, were never picked up. My parents, when I was born, 53, being totally blind, they had to deal with it, and they did every kind of bit of research on how blind people were educated and what and how to make my life a better life for me. And they actually did the work, and they were not college educated. They came from a middle class environment, and that's and the way I am now is, because people can say I'm crazy, which I am a little bit, but the way I am now is because they pushed. They gave up things that they wanted. My dad could have gotten the promotion to run a plant that makes shirts, women's shirts in South Carolina, but he said, why am I moving there? My son's not going to get a good education. There aren't good education down south for schools for the blind down there. There's the education for. So they gave up things that they wanted because they knew they wanted me to have as much independence as possible. And I think the biggest part when you have a learning disability, whether it's Asperger's syndrome or whether it's some sort of developmental disability or whether it's a physical disability, is you got to have parents who advocate for you and advocating for yourself as well.
Right.
And I sit on the
oh, I'm sorry, I'll let you get to your point in a second. I sit on one of the little self-advocacy boards here. I actually am part of the self-advocacy group at Tangram here in Indianapolis. And I have a lot of fun working with them, because one of my friends, me and him talk all the time, and we've been talking about trying to start a podcast. And right now we're in the middle of the holidays, so we haven't even said a word to each other really since last October. It's kind of sad, but we're trying to get stuff done, but it's been a mess for all of us.
Yeah, I went to the school here in Alamogordo. Now, I have a double, and mine's just, both of mine are physical. I'm in a wheelchair, and I'm also legally blind. But I got a good education out there, so I have nothing to complain about. So, it's just...
It all depends on the teachers and the staff you have, Ellen, and the people who work at the school for the blind. I can tell you horror stories about the school I went to. There was two schools. There was a high school and a lower school. And my parents pulled me out of the lower school because I wasn't learning anything, and they did not get along with the teacher that I had. So it goes all over the spectrum, shall we say. So
because a little more into my life outside of radio is one of the things that I do though to help with, because autistic people like repetitive things, i.e. repetitive tasks, repetitive whatever. So one of the things I do is collating. That's one of my jobs, basically my main job title is collator. And so I get to stuff envelopes and do stuff like that. I get the fun part of that, and that's why sometimes you'll hear me, revert back to some things from my childhood, like, listening to Bernie and Kelly in the morning on ATR Extra or when they were on B105.7, when I mentioned that on ATR Extra. You'll hear me revert back to that now and again, because that was a special time in my life, because it was just, everything was, in my eyes, perfect.
Before we go on to another topic, does anyone have any questions? And if you do, certainly you can call in on that call-in number. And if you're any of the people on who are online, can raise their hand by hitting *9 to raise your hand if you have any further questions. We certainly would appreciate that. Dan, I want to thank you. I know, Bill, can you want to say anything? I know I want to turn it over to you, Bill, but I want to thank you because you've certainly enlightened us on a subject that we probably knew nothing about. Go ahead, Bill, if you're...
Very, very, very interesting and inspiring. And if any of our listeners don't want to call in but want to send me an email question or have a question that I can pass along to Daniel or something we've said or done here this morning, send me an email at bill@billsparks.org and that'll get that done.
By the way, before I go, Bill, did you get my email with the with my contact info?
Not yet, but I just got home. So let me search again, and I'll be able to let you know after the show. If you get a response back from me, then you know I got it.
Okay, yeah, perfect. Because I sent you my phone number and my email address. Because, like I said, I don't bring my autism up on ATR Extra at all. Because that's not the time nor the place. This is more the forum to do that in. But like I said, I do invite questions or comments. And you can also, I have a special thing for people who like to also listen to Easy Rock Indie, a little feedback email address. And I don't know how much that one's actually working because I've put a video on YouTube, about it to tell people where they can send their comments to about Easy Rock Indie. I put that up on YouTube. However, I'm going to send you the same email address. I'm going to tell everybody the same email address if you have questions for me. And I'll try to get back to every one of you as quickly as I can. It may take a little bit of time, though. And so the email address is erifeedback@gmail.com. Again, that's erifeedback@gmail.com, all lowercase letters.
Okay. Bill, I have a Christmas song I wanted to play, but we can do that later.
Go right ahead, Jeff.
Okay. First of all, Dan.
Yes.
Thank you. And if I ever get to Indianapolis, I would like to have lunch with you sometime.
So what's everybody going to be doing for Christmas this year? Has anybody got any special plans here on the panel?
I'm going to be going and visiting my uncle on the 23rd. The 23rd. And then we're doing Christmas Eve at my house on the 24th. We're doing Christmas Day at my aunt's on the 25th. So pretty busy in the Moore household this year.
Bill, you have your hand raised. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah. I'm not doing anything. I'm just probably my daughter and I, as far as moving up to my grandson's house. But that song brought back some memories, I got to tell you. It was talking about Christmas. Santa Claus, when I was growing up, always came after we got through milking the cows in the morning. I don't know how he got there, because when I got to be like 12, 13 years old, when you really notice Christmas, you come downstairs, nothing under the tree. You come down, there'd be nothing under the tree. We'd go to the barn at 5 in the morning to milk the cows. We usually got there a couple hours. You come back in, the tree was full of gifts. And I swore I never saw Santa Claus come anytime. And I was outside the whole time. So I don't know how he got there, but that was just a little memory we used to talk kid about when I was a kid. And growing up, Santa Claus would come while we was milking the cows, but we never saw
Well, I celebrate both ways, Bill. I celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah when I was a kid, being Jewish. But I went to the school for the blind, and we celebrated Christmas. So I don't know what's happening. I believe I will have Christmas dinner with my family here in Albany, New York, with my daughter and my stepdaughter.
Right. Yeah, well, since my wife passed away, my daughter is the only one that's left, because my grandson's mother passed away 8 years ago. She's 10 years ago. So it's just really the four of us, and I'm not going out of town. I could go down to my side of the family, my mother's side of the family, or my father's in Indiana, but I'm not going back there just for the day. But we used to have big family gatherings when I was a kid at my grandmother's house, and she actually started, I don't know if you ever heard WWO in Fort Wayne, I don't know if they still do it or not, they used to do a thing called the Penny Pitch. It was to raise funds to, buy gifts or toys for kids. This is back in the 50s. Well, back in the 40s and that time when my grandmother was still living, she used to make homemade gifts for every kid in the township she lived in Wells County, Indiana. She lived in Union Township, and every kid got a gift. No matter how rich you were, how poor you were, every kid got a gift that she made of some kind. And then she eventually started. She's the first one that started the Penny Pitch in WWO. She suggested it to Jay Gould and Bob Sievers, were the morning guys, and they started it, and they started raising money to give gifts and that to kids all around. Well, of course, then it was all around the tri-state area.
I know I'm not cooking. I can tell you that.
But no, but, you know, I had one subject to say back what Dan was talking about. I don't know if he's still there, but you know, mentally retarded kids can be taught. Because my wife, we had a little girl that she took care of, had brain damage at 3 months. She was in a car accident, got thrown under the dash before they had car seats. And the doctor said she'd never walk, talk, or feed herself. By the time she was, time she got to school age, she could talk, she could walk, she could feed herself. My wife taught her to do the whole thing. And when she was 16 years old, she won the 60-yard dash in the Special Olympics in Memphis, Tennessee.
Congratulations. Bill, I see it's 10 o'clock.
Hello, everyone. Well, today we are going to do a demo, but before we do the demo, I should tell you that Chris and I had to redo the demo a second time because of a problem that I guess I created, and the bowls separated from the stand mixer fell onto the table, and we had one heck of a crash and one heck of a mess. So I decided what I would do, since Chris and I decided that we would have to redo the demo, which we did. But what I wanted to show you is what can happen when you do these demos for the coffee club.
It wasn't the grinder wasn't tight into the mixer hub, wasn't locked in.
Caused all kinds of problems. So we're going to start by letting you listen to what can happen in a demo. Now, I thought I had lost this file, but what I did was I got to looking, I put the file into the computer and got to checking it out, and I was able to pull out the section of the first attempt to do the demo where the crash is, and you will get to hear what can happen. So following the accident, then you will hear the second demo. So I've got the grinder installed onto the mixer, and I have the bowl ready to accept the ham that I'm going to put into it. And so the first thing I'm going to do is turn on the mixer. Houston, we have a problem. I guess I didn't have the grinder locked into the mixer, and I've got one heck of a mess because the grinder fell off the mixer, upset the bowl that I had the ham in, and we've got ham all over the place. Oh my goodness. Chris, who's going to clean up this mess, you or me?
Thunder
will clean up the mess. So I guess, folks, we'll restart the demo, but this is what can happen, I guess, when you're doing a demo. You just never know what might happen. Good morning, everyone. Well, today, once again, we are going to do something else just a little bit different. We are going to make some ham loaf. And in order to do that, we are going to be using a couple different devices. Three of them, as a matter of fact. We're going to use the KitchenAid stand mixer. We're going to use the attachment, food grinder attachment, to grind the ham. We have a ham here that Chris cut up in smaller pieces so that they will fit the chute of the stand mixer of the food grinder. And then we are also going to be using a food processor.
But that's going to make scalloped potatoes.
To make scalloped potatoes to go with this ham loaf that Chris will be giving you the recipe for.
Just as we go along, I'll give you the recipe.
Okay, so what I have now is I have the stand mixer set up. I have a bowl of ham, and it's ready to go. And I've got the little pusher.
Full disclosure, this is take two because
yeah.
You need to make sure your ham grinder is locked onto the...
onto the mixer.
We made quite a bit of racket, so we started again.
First thing I will do is let Chris give you some information about the products that we're using.
I'll try to make this quick because there's several of, and I'll go over it again at the end. The stand mixers, you can get all kinds and all sizes. You can get a tilt head, which means you tilt the head back, attach your beaters, and then tilt your head forward over the bowl. You can get a bowl lift, which means you lift the bowl up to the beaters. It has a crank on the mixer, and you lift it up to your beaters, and the head is stationary. So that's the first thing you've got to decide, and there are advantages and disadvantages to both. And then you have to decide what size. There's everything from a 3-quart to a 6-quart. And lots of stuff in between. But so, just, you know, you got to decide what you want. I'm not going to give prices for all of them because there's a lot of them. But you can get these things on Amazon. You can get them at KitchenAid. You can get them at Macy's. You can probably get them at Kohl's, all kinds of places. But on Amazon, you can get the food grinder and sausage filler tube attachment for the KitchenAid stand mixer. It's $39.99. You can also get the food grinder attachment that is a KitchenAid for $32.99. Now, that's without the sausage stuffer. You can get the food processor at Amazon, the attachment with commercial style dicing kit, for $146.99. Now, your food processor will dice, slice, and julienne. You can get these items from KitchenAid as well, and you can get the food grinder attachment for $74.99, and it probably comes with...
It comes with
things.
It comes with two blades.
Doesn't that also come with the?
It has a metal, cutting knife.
The metal cups that slice and stuff. Don't they come together?
Yes.
So you get a little bit of extra stuff. You can get the food processor attachment at KitchenAid for $109.99, and it's on sale at the moment. The web address. Well, you know the web address for Amazon. It's Amazon.com. The web address for KitchenAid is KitchenAid.com, and that is spelled KitchenAid.com. And their phone number is 1-800-541-6390. That's 1-800-541-6390.
Okay, so I've got everything ready to go in the on the stand mixer. The grinder is on the stand mixer. And I've got my little pusher. And what happens is I put the ham into, there's a chute at the top of the grinder. And you put your pieces of ham in there. And then you have a little pusher that you hold in your other hand. And you put that in the hole on top of whatever you put into that chute. And you press down on it and wait until the ground ham will, it'll cut it. And
there's a little knife in there that cuts it.
And it will put the ham into the bowl. So
we lost our little knife once because they're tiny, so if you decide to do this, be careful with your little knife.
So what I'm going to do is start the mixer, and then I will grind some of this ham up. And the ham that we have is 6 pounds and 6 ounces cut up into some pieces
that we hope will all fit in the chute.
So we're going to try this, and I'm going to turn the mixer on. Then I will put some ham into the chute, which I'm doing now. Put a couple pieces in there. Take my pusher and push it down. And the ham is coming out
the little hole.
It's going down into the bowl that I have sitting down on the table.
And yay, the whole thing didn't fall apart.
Yeah, I didn't have it locked the first time before we had to do the demo over because my mixer, my attachment, wasn't locked.
It made wonderful noises.
Everything fell off.
Turn the bowl over. Ooh.
And made a lot of noise.
Who knew this was a dangerous activity?
Yeah. So, I'll just grind a little bit more. We're going to grind this whole bowl of ham up.
We won't push you through all that.
So, it would take probably about 5 minutes to grind this whole bowl.
But we're going to tell Bill Sparks we want hazardous duty pay.
Oh, my. Yeah, that was a nice crash. It was awesome. I should have kept the recording because there was some great sound effects.
That on you. You need a sound effect.
So I've ground probably about a third of the bowl, if that. And but the idea is you just keep putting the ham down into the chute of the grinder and take your pusher and push it down until it gets clear down to the bottom. I'll do it.
It's some juicy ham.
Do it one more time here. And pushing down on the pusher. And then I will pause the machine, and I will come back as soon as I have all of the ham ground up. Okay, I'm just finishing up the last bit of ham, and it's just about done. It's dropping a couple little drops in there. Now we'll turn my machine off. It won't be so noisy anymore. So now that we have the ham ground up, I will pause the machine. I will get ready, and I will put the food processor onto the stand mixer. That's the food processor attachments. Do you have anything, Chris?
Well, not really. We're going to take a pound of this ham and a pound of the ground beef and mix them together with 5 or 6 or 7 slices of bread. I use 6 that I've got all crumbed up. I don't like bread crumbs in there because they're almost too fine. But I do like it pinched up real, real fine. 2 eggs and 1/4 cup of milk. And that's what makes the ham loaf.
All right, we got the food grinder all cleaned up and everything.
And I have measured out 1 pound of ham. I will freeze this ham. I measured out 1 pound for today, and I will freeze the rest of it in 1 pound bags for ham loaf later.
All right, so we'll be able to make it a few times. Great stuff. So right now, I've got the food processor installed onto the stand mixer, and I got my thumb screw tight so we don't have the problem we had in the beginning that caused us to have to restart the demo. Oh my goodness, just never know what can happen on the coffee club. Anyway, I've got this thing set up and ready to go, and so we got a bowl laying centered below the mixer, because what's going to happen is the top of this processor has a chute, and what you have to do is you put the potatoes into the chute, and there's a switch on the left-hand side of the mixer, of the attachment that you have on the mixer that you can set. It's got, it clicks as you slide it forward or backwards, and that selects the different thicknesses of the potato slices that you want to make. So, I had Chris set that where she likes it, and so what I will do now is start the food, the mixer. And then I will put the potatoes, some potatoes, into the chute. Take my pusher and just press down on it, and the slices will drop into the bowl. And it won't take very long. I don't know how many potatoes she has here.
I've got some potatoes in half to make them go, because they were big. So I cut them in half so they'll fit in the chute.
So if the noise didn't cover her voice up, I'm just putting the pieces of potato in there and pressing down on my, with my pusher. And we've just about taken care of it. All of the potatoes that she has will be sliced up right now. All of those are sliced up, and they look really good too. They're nice, size slices,
nice and uniform,
and that's how easy it is with these attachments. You know, it doesn't, as long as you make sure they're locked onto your stand mixer, and you got the thumb screw screwed in there tight, everything works really good.
So I have the bread crumbed up in this bowl. I have a pound of ham in this bowl. I have a quarter cup of milk. I've put some pepper in there. Put some onion flakes in there, or you could use real onion. I'm going to put the eggs in there now. There's one. Two. So now the eggs are in there, and the only thing I have left to do is add my pound of ground beef, which is thawed in the microwave, and I will put this on 350 for 50 to 60 minutes. And what I often do is I will often cover it for the first half of the cooking and then open it up and let it brown on top and so forth. But it kind of helps if you cover it for a while. It helps it not to be too dry on top.
So now that we've got the potatoes sliced, and Chris gave you the information about the ham loaf, now she is going to talk a little bit about the scalloped potatoes that she's going to make.
And we have the potatoes sliced up. You can use ever how many you want, but I just make them. They're real simple. Lots of times I will fry bacon for them. I'm not going to do that today. I will use just a tiny bit of bacon grease and some cream of chicken soup to give the soup some flavor. I'll add a little bit of pepper and maybe a teaspoon or so of bacon drippings. Today, I'm going to use, I think, just a little bit of chipped up ham because I don't have any bacon thawed. And so that's easy. Ever how many potatoes you have, you use enough soup with about half the water it calls for. So in cream of chicken soup, that would be like a can of soup and half a can of water. Or you can use milk. Or if you're making a lot, two or three cans of soup and a can or a can and a half of water. So just, you want the mixture that you put on your potatoes to be kind of thick, but not real thick. You want it to be thin enough to cover them, but you want it to be thick enough so that it's not real runny. So, and I'll cover those too for a while, and
And they'll have to bake about the same amount of time the ham loaf will. So everything
works out. So that would be in the oven?
Yeah, in the oven about 350 for about an hour or till you can stick a fork in your potatoes and they're tender. Now, some people, you know, might want to go sort of au gratin and put cheese on top, but we don't do that here. So.
All right. Anyway, that's how we use the devices and how we do the processor and the food grinder. And there are other attachments you can get for these stand mixers. So.
Well, yeah, we have the whole food processor set, not just the slicer. And you can get sausage stuffers and pasta extruders and I don't know what, all kinds of things. So
yeah, all kinds of neat stuff you can do with these things. Anyway, Chris, do you want to give the information about the products that we're using one more time?
Okay, here again, the stand mixer. You have to decide what you want. You have to decide the size from 3 to 6 quart, and you also have to decide if you want tilt head or bowl lift. But you can get these attachments on Amazon. They have a Antree, it's A-N-T-R-E-E, food grinder and sausage filler tube attachment for the KitchenAid stand mixer for $39.99. They also have the KitchenAid FGA food grinder attachment for $32.99. And they have the KitchenAid KSM2 FPA, which is food processor attachment, with commercial style dicing kit for $146.99. You can also go to KitchenAid.com, and that's KitchenAid.com. And they have the metal food grinder attachment model KSMMGA for $74.99. You can get the food processor attachment. It's model KSM1FPA for $109.99. And I believe that might be on sale now. You can call KitchenAid at 1-800-541-6390. That's 1-800-541-6390 if you have any questions.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's demo. If you have any questions, you can always email Bill Sparks at bill@billsparks.org. That's bill@billsparks.org.
Or if you have any comments or questions during this live broadcast, you may call at 1-646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. The meeting ID you will need is 848-725-450. That's 848-725-450. Follow the instructions. And when you are asked for a user ID, just press pound.
All right. As we said, that's all the time we have for this demo. Stay tuned next week for another exciting demo.
There we go. Oh, somebody's... Jenny had to mute there real quick, I see. She could go the whole demo. Pretty good timing.
Every time you do this, Chris, I get hungrier and hungrier. You know, I can't help it.
Oh, that stuff is really good. They're both good.
Did you peel those potatoes before you put them in the processor or not?
For scalloped potatoes, I do, yeah. Okay. I don't suppose you would have to, but I like my scalloped potatoes peeled.
And what about with the ham loaf? When you made the ham loaf, I noticed you put the egg in, but I didn't hear about, you didn't scramble it up or do anything like that, correct? You just put it in, is that?
You don't have to. You can. You can put it in a bowl and beat it a little bit if you want to with a fork just to break up the yellows. But by the time I mix it in the ham loaf, it's broken up anyway, so I didn't. I just dumped it in there and...
You know, I ask you all these questions, but I know I'll never do it myself.
Bill, in Chicago, can I make a comment? Can I make a comment to Dave?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Dave, what you need to do is, for your dexterity and keep exercise up, you need to get the old cast iron table grinder like I have, where you clamp at the table and grind the same thing that makes ham salad or that kind of stuff.
That keeps you
exercising, and then make sure you got dexterity and not slice your fingers. slice the potatoes with a paring knife. That way you won't, you know, you'll botch your thumb.
Yeah, my mom used to, my mom used to do that. She had one of those that you put on, you clamp it to a chair or a table, and then crank it. And she even had a cherry seeder that did the same thing.
Oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh. It's a thing, you'd put the cherries on it, and you'd flip the lever over, and it push the seeds through, and the cherry come back, pop off, and go in the bowl.
If you do scallop potatoes for 23 people, and you have an opportunity to use something else, you don't want to use a paring knife.
I'm just kidding Dave for dexterity.
Yeah. I remember those good times.
Daniel Moore has a question. Go ahead, Dan.
I'll make sure he's unmuted.
Go ahead, Dan. You have a question?
There we go. I have a question. I had a pop-up on my phone at the worst time, right as you brought me in. Anyways, what I was going to say was, during that first take of the demo, I had to laugh because all I could see was the episode of Home Improvement where Tim plugs in that belt sander and the trigger switch is already on and it takes off the table.
I saw that.
Yeah, you just never know. Sometimes things happen, and, you know, you have to sort of...
We decided to try to recover that and put it back in.
It's
Jenny,
still funny.
Jenny wanted to hear it.
Yeah, she wanted to redo on that of the...
I was going to say, Chris, you sound like Tina Borelli on the QVC.
Oh, I don't...
I'm just kidding you, Chris.
Yeah, did you save the ham that fell off?
Sure, we picked it up off the table and put it back in the bowl.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it went to the floor or where it went.
No, it actually didn't go on the floor.
No, the ham went on the table, but the bowl fell on the floor.
You're
lucky then, right?
You obviously know the phone numbers for the cut. Have you? Can you give us just a little insight into the experience you've had dealing with KitchenAid? Have you ever had to call their customer service for questions ever?
Oh, sure.
And how are they? Pretty good?
They're very good. Yeah, we've called them. Actually, the first time I called for the stand mixer, we called the regular KitchenAid phone number, and they said to us that we needed to call small appliances, and I'm thinking, you call that a small appliance? But okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're not real small.
So I gave this time when we did the demo, I gave the small appliance number.
I forget which model do you have. Do you have the tilt bowl or head?
No, we have the 6-quart bowl lift.
Because we have the tilt and we like it a lot better because it fits under our counter or cupboard.
Well, see,
the other one wouldn't.
Our tilt didn't fit under our counter, under our cabinets. You had to, well, if you wanted to raise it up, you had to pull it out, and this one fits under there without having to do anything. But they both have advantages and disadvantages.
Yeah. We had the other one, the bowl lift, before. And, part of the reason we got the new one was the old one didn't let you... I can't remember what it wouldn't let us use.
Oh, really?
It wouldn't let us use the new beater, the one with the rubber...
Oh, really? Because ours does.
They're supposed to all be interchangeable.
Yeah, they told us that you couldn't get it for ours. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I thought it said with KitchenAid that all their attachments fit on, and they use the same connections or the connectors that they've been using since 1912, whenever they first came out. So,
well, see, you don't use the hub for the beater that Tim is talking about, but I would have thought it would have fit too.
Yeah, because. It'll fit. Well, they have them now that'll fit all of their products.
Anyway, we like that beater a lot better than
that's a nice beater
that comes with it.
Yeah,
it's really cool. That beater is cool because it actually cleans the side of the bowl. Is it?
Yeah,
mixes.
It's green. You know?
It's got a silicone strip on it that wipes the bowl.
They talk about that on QVC all the time.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
We got any recipes, Chris?
I have 3 appetizer recipes. I tried to do a mix of sweet and savory, and I know I gave you 2 last week, but I have 3 today, so with the 5, that ought to be a pretty good, somebody ought to find something they like. First one I'm going to do is actually the longest one. It is for caramel corn, and you use 2 sticks of butter or margarine, 2 cups of packed brown sugar, 1/2 cup light corn syrup, 1 teaspoon of salt, which that's optional, 5 quarts of popped popcorn. You can use microwave or otherwise. And even if I use the microwave, I usually still add the salt. 2 cups of peanuts, which is that's optional too, but I like it with the peanuts. 1/2 teaspoon baking soda, 1 teaspoon of vanilla. And what you do is you place your popcorn and your peanuts in a very large bowl, mix them together, and set aside. And it works better if you just kind of run your hands underneath it and raise it up and just keep doing that to kind of mix it up. That way you don't crush your popcorn. Preheat your oven to 250 degrees. Butter, don't use the out of the 2 sticks of butter, don't use that, but take some other butter and butter 2 large oven-safe dishes. Melt your 2 sticks of butter in the saucepan, add brown sugar and corn syrup and salt. Bring to a boil, stirring frequently. Boil without stirring for 5 minutes or until a thermometer reaches 248 degrees. 5 minutes does pretty well if you don't have a thermometer, so just give it a good boil for 5 minutes. Remove from heat, stir in baking soda and vanilla, and when you put your baking soda in, it may foam on you a little bit. It's actually not too bad, but just be aware that you need some extra room in your pan, so don't try to use a small pan. Pour evenly over corn and peanuts and mix well, trying to be careful not to break the popcorn. You place in the large pans that you've lightly buttered. You put that in your oven for 1 hour and you stir it every 15 minutes. And one of the things I've found is if you use some really large pans, even if you have to buy a couple of disposable roaster pans, it works better because you need room to take a spatula and go under it, bring it up, and just kind of fold it around. And that way it doesn't spill out of the pan so bad. You don't have such a mess. But that is caramel corn. Not necessarily a Christmas recipe, but it's really, really good. It could be a Christmas recipe if you wanted it to be. But we like that. We make it once or twice a year, but we usually make it in the spring at the start of baseball season and eat on it during the start of baseball season, but it's still good no matter when you make it. So that's caramel corn.
Sounds good.
I was going to mention, we just bought those, QVC's been selling those little popcorn poppers that you get 3 of them in a...
put them in the microwave, right?
Yeah, they go in the microwave, and they really work well. I'm really happy with them.
Huh. They're made out of glass, right?
Yep.
Well, that's good to know.
Just order from Garrett's Popcorn.
All I could think of Christmas, peanuts, popcorn, candy, and a prize. That's, never mind.
Yeah, Cracker Jack.
Yep, Cracker Jack. Yep.
You know, Cracker Jacks don't taste like they used to, though.
Sterling Holloway.
What you need is Garrett's Popcorn out of Chicago here. They ship that all over the world. Caramel corn, cheese corn, all kinds. It's well known. I mean, people stand in line. There's a store on State and Madison, their main store. Around this time of year, there'll be lines 3 blocks long waiting for that place to open up to buy their corn. It's called Garrett's Popcorn.
What's your next recipe, Chris?
My next recipe is a recipe I got from a friend of ours, and I have just called it, let's see, which one is it? Here we go. Jen's Buffalo Chicken Dip. Hang on a second, I've got the wrong one up. So let me get the other one up. I've got the third one. Okay, it is 8 ounces of cream cheese, softened, 1/2 cup of ranch dressing, and that's the bottled kind, 1/2 cup of hot sauce, 16 ounces of shredded sharp cheddar cheese, 2 12-ounce cans of canned chicken in water, drained. Preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Combine cream cheese and hot sauce and ranch dressing. And you might have to heat that up a little to mix it. You could probably run it through a food processor or something, but if you don't have one, just heat it in the microwave a little bit to mix it. It works. You take a casserole, and I used a 2-quart, and it was just about a perfect fit. You layer cream cheese mixture with chicken and cheese in a casserole, and you make sure you end with cheese. Bake for 20 minutes and serve it with, what does Jen serve that with, Dave? Chips or crackers? I don't know because I don't eat it.
She has both.
Okay.
Chips and crackers.
You could use vegetables. You could probably use whatever you wanted, but that dip goes over really well. Of course, I don't like it because it has cheddar cheese in it, but everybody else loves it. And I do make it once in a while. And the third recipe I have is a recipe I got from somebody I went to school with and worked with, Donna, and it's just called pink dip. And people at the office used to go crazy over it. 16 ounces of cream cheese softened, 16 ounces of salsa, any kind you want. She always uses paste picante sauce, the chunky kind. And all you do is you blend the cream cheese and the salsa with a mixer. And you just blend it till it's mixed up. And that the mixer leaves a lot of chunks in there from the picante sauce. If you want it smooth, you just run it through a food processor or a blender till it's smooth. So you can have it either way you want. But the salsa causes the dip to turn a pretty pink. And you serve it with Doritos or whatever kind of chips you want. That's a real easy one. Jeff, you could probably make that.
You know, thanks a lot, Chris.
Chris, you're not a true Pennsylvania German, are you? You don't like cheese.
No, I don't like cheese. I'm not from here. I'm from Arkansas.
I love cheese.
Oh, no wonder. Yeah.
Lots of people in Arkansas like cheese, too.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Pennsylvania, that's a big German settlement used to be in his life.
I don't know. Dave's mom was from here, and she didn't like cheese either, so.
But if you go to the Amish country of Pennsylvania, there's you can buy all that cheese down in Pennsylvania, Bill, and it's really good. I got
to
tell you.
I go to Amish country here in Indiana. I was born and raised 14 miles from the most primitive Amish community in the United States in Bern, Indiana. They still live like it's 1812. I mean, they don't use the covered buggy. They still use the open buggy with a single axle. And there's only two seats on the buggy, one for the mother, one for the father, and they hold the baby. When you get old enough to hold on, if you can't hold on to the axle, you're going to fall off for the rest of the kids.
That could be a little dangerous, but...
Well, I mean, that's the way they live. I mean, I had an Amish friend that she married out of the Amish sect, and the day she married, her parents had her funeral.
There's
a grave site on their farm with her name on it. She's still living.
We still have some horse and buggies around here.
Oh, yeah, Northern Indiana has them all over. Shipshawana, Indiana, that's a big Amish community. I just there a week or so ago, that's a big Amish community. Burn, Indiana.
It's dangerous. So many of them get hit by cars nowadays because people drive and don't watch out for anything.
Daniel Moore, you had your hand raised.
Well, Pam just made my point. Ironically, I was going to say the same thing, that people, you know, they don't pay attention. You got these cars that drive and they hit these buggies. You know, I see them on Wayne 15 News sometimes, and I'll be like, how do they not see these buggies? I mean, do they need to have a color of safety yellow somewhere on those buggies and a sign that says, hey, we're an Amish buggy occupying the highway here? Because I know the laws are different up there versus here in Indianapolis where I am.
Well, now they have to have electric. They have to put on battery-powered
lights
in the back and in the front. That's mandatory now. The church finally okayed that for them, but the state said they had to do that.
It's just a shame. I mean, the people don't watch out for anything. They run into school buses, and they're bright yellow. And
well, look at that woman here. What was it? Oh, in October, early November, that ran those three kids down. In Indiana, they're on a school bus. The kids were crossing the road to get on the bus, and the flashers were on. The stop sign was out with the red flashers, and she didn't think it was a school bus, so she was going to go on by it. To me, I don't know. She hadn't gone to trial yet, but she has three kids of her own, but if I was a judge, I'd probation her for 15 years, and she could still drive. If she had one moving violation, she'd wind up in jail for the rest of her term. Because she has three kids, I'd let her stay home, raise her three kids, but...
Well, you know, talking about Christmas, is anyone have what? There's so many Christmas specials on over the years, but you guys have any favorite Christmas movies or specials that you like? Grinch Stole Christmas.
I usually like A Christmas Story when they have that on TV.
That's going to be on Turner or TNT all day, Christmas Day.
Yeah, they do that every year.
I will still say that I love It's a Wonderful Life. I've seen it a million times.
Oh,
I love that story. It takes a guy down to the depths of his despair, and it shows him that he really wasn't that. He was a really good guy at the end. Frank Capra movie, but I also like the Christmas cartoons, and it's getting a lot of bad press because they talk about bullying. But in the end, Rudolph the Reindeer wins out at the end, even though he was bullied by the other reindeers in the show. And that's the Rudolph the Reindeer cartoon that came out in 1964, was produced out in Canada. And also Frosty the Snowman, narrated by Jimmy Durante, and Jackie Leonard played the voice of Frosty the Snowman. I love that one as well.
And they're not like the original on 30th Street. Yeah, the original one. That's right, Jenny.
Oh, you can't forget about Nestor, the long-haired dog.
That's the one with Roger Miller narrating it.
I also like watching the Price is Right Christmas episodes from the ones back in the Bob Barker days. I like watching those, and there's a bunch of them on YouTube. I think there's maybe about 10 or 20 years worth of them on YouTube.
Of course, you can't forget the original Christmas Carol or Scrooge.
Well, there are a few of them, but the best one is the one that was made in 1951 with Alistair Sim.
Right, that's the best one.
That's the one. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, this is Joe. I am unusual in the fact that I like Nine Lessons and Carols from Cambridge College in England with Michael Barone from Minnesota Public Radio. And last year at Christmas, I listened to it on the iPhone, and my mother-in-law was just blown away. Anyway, just a quick, when I was 9 years old, Minnesota Braille and Sight Saving School, I played the part of Scrooge in a little monologue I had with Bob Cratchit about a 10 minutes. And I said, I want to play the part of Scrooge. And here I am, this little kid, you know. But I really got teased afterward. I would come by, hey, here comes Scrooge. So I paid for my first dramatic presentation.
Thank you, Joe. Well, I just brought that up because I collect, you know, all these children's records, and I don't have a lot of Christmas in my library, but I do have something that I may put on next week in place of All Things Radio. So we'll have to talk to Bill about that. I think I talked to you about that already, Bill. So we'll talk about that later. But it's a Jim Reeves show. People don't realize, although Jim Reeves is a country singer, he was also a radio star and worked on the ABC network in 1957, or they didn't call it ABC, they call it the American Broadcasting Network, ABN. And in 1957 and 1958, he did a radio show. And there's a show that's 53 minutes long, and it's a Jim Reeves show. And what I find interesting about this particular show is that it had not the Anita Kerr singers, but the Anita Kerr Quartet.
He had his own radio station in his house, Jeff.
Yeah, I know.
That's where he broadcast from, right? He
had his own radio station. Not in this case. It was broadcast from a theater in Manhattan. That's where
because I know he had his own theater in his house, because I've been to his house years ago, and I saw his radio equipment.
Did you get to meet him?
Yep, I met him also.
Was he a nice guy?
Oh, he's a great guy. I love Jim Reeves. I like all his music, right? Yeah, any of his music, right? He was a nice guy.
Yeah, and he also did a radio show for the United States Air Force, if I'm not mistaken. And the radio announcer for that particular show, why do I know this? Again, this is a thing with me, was Don Sturgis. And if anyone remembers a religious show on Sunday mornings produced by the Southern Baptists in, I believe, in Texas, it was called Master Control. And he was the host of Master Control, if anyone remembers that show.
Right.
Jeff, Bill has a story that he wants to tell, I believe, Bill Sparks.
I do.
Bill, I thought maybe the audience would like to hear your little fiasco over the weekend.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
You're talking about
the airport.
The airport. Well, you know, if you've ever been traveling, and we've learned over the years to pare it down to one bag so we can go through there and get out quick, but you usually have some type of electronic devices, and they have to check that. This all started yesterday. We went in the airport. The lady that drove us there was helping us, and she got her car ticketed, and you know, for trying to help us, she left her car unattended, and that was a no-no. So you should never do that at the airport. But Secondly, I don't know really what caused this or what happened. I go to get checked. It buzzes and they say, well, maybe it's your suspenders you're wearing. So I take those off. It still goes off. So next thing, they say, we want to see your hands. And I said, okay, here's my hand. I put my hand out and they sprayed something on it and said, there's something suspicious in your hands. Something suspicious. I don't know what they would be. So in the meantime, they've taken Jennifer away and I don't know where she's at. She doesn't know where I'm at. So they say, well, you got to go again. We got to do this all over again. So they did it. Still suspicious. So next thing I know, they said, you got to go up to the third level. You're right below a terrorist now. I said, me, a terrorist? And they spray my hands again. This time, then they make me take my belt off. Then they decide they're going to make me lower my pants. They took another look and said, hey, I got a flight to catch, folks. I don't have time for this. You know I'm not a terrorist. And finally, I got through with just a few minutes to spare. But that reminds me. Then we get off the plane and there's no one to help us from getting off the airplane, so we have to wait and wait and wait, and of course, until everybody's off, and then finally somebody comes and takes us to the terminal, then they drop us off. If I hadn't so many bags to carry, I probably would have used IRA to get to ground transportation so I could meet our ride. What would you have done in that situation? It took them almost 30 minutes to finally get somebody. And then when they did come, they expected, but I'm the one who had to carry all the bags anyway. So what would you guys have done and how would you have maybe prevented that problem at security?
You couldn't do anything about it, Bill, because they have their protocol and they're not going to budge for it. I got strip searched once also. A few years ago, and there's nothing that you can do about it.
No, you can't do anything from the security standpoint. Maybe if you'd have had them connected up already, you could have used the glasses for Ira, so you'd be hands-free. But my question is, how did you meet up with Jennifer at the airport?
Finally, they I told that guy, now, look, if you're going to keep me, either let her go on the flight by herself, you know, or you bring her over someplace where she can sit and you can take me over to her. Because at that point, I was in doubt whether I was going on the plane or not.
Well, did they take her onto the gate?
They took her up by the gate, yes.
Okay.
So
the only other advice is to get there as early as possible. The earlier you get there, that's the only thing I can think of.
Okay.
And we have let me see who it is. Is it Dick out in Milwaukee?
They just go through such a rigmarole. And I had, of course, they do a pat-down search of me because of my joints. But that's not that big of a deal. But
Dick, go ahead. You had a question?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I got a couple of questions. It's really terrible, Bill. But you're kind of between a rock and a hard place. Hey, two questions. Number one, on a serious note, for you guys, Bill and the other computer geeks, about Winamp, one of my music sites I listen to, they said they've downloaded it and it's virus free. Did you guys hear anything about that?
Then,
say that again, Dick. What was the question you had again?
Okay, about Winamp, and one of the music stations I listen to, a station out of California, KZSC, on their site, they say they've downloaded Winamp and it's good. The new Winamp, they say it's virus free. Have you guys heard anything about that?
Well, the last I heard, it's still in beta. I'm not sure if Mike is here listening, but it's still in beta. That new Winamp, and it probably is virus free. But if you have any doubts about that, put it through your virus scanning program, Dick.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any problem with it.
Okay, second question for Chris and Dave, and then I have a recipe for you guys. Chris, what do you guys do with your Christmas tree with the kitty?
Well,
put up with the damage.
Yeah, he. He's not too bad, but once he gets on a tear, he's on it for a little bit.
Let me give you a little advice. You might try, you know, maybe make a cloth ornament and put paprika inside. They don't like paprika.
We don't have trouble with the ornaments because I don't put any on the very bottom. Oh, but what we do have trouble with is the he chews on the tree.
Oh my!
Yeah, and he likes to mess with the packages.
Our cat likes to take ornaments off the tree and play with them. So we've gone over to all plastic ornaments.
We have a new kitty we got in April, so far she's good. So we will play it by ear. Okay, I got a recipe for everybody here. And this is my brother called it a yummy bean recipe. And here it is. It's 1 pound of sliced bacon, one pound of sliced bacon, 1.5 pounds of ground beef, 2 cans of pork and beans, 2 cans of white navy beans, 1 cup of packed light brown sugar, 1 cup of barbecue sauce, 1 envelope of dried onion soup mix. Okay. Now here comes the next part. Now you cook bacon until crisp, then you crumble it and set aside. Cook beef until browned. Drain off excess fat. Okay. Then combine beef, bacon, and remaining ingredients. Pour into a 2.5 quart casserole. Bake uncovered at 350 degrees for 1 hour. And then it is very, very yummy.
So what was that? What was the name of that? I missed
it. My brother just called it the yummy bean. I think somebody could call a bean bake.
Oh, bean. Okay.
Yeah, bean bake. Bill, what's Santa going to bring you for Christmas?
Maybe a new kitty. Are we about time to wrap it up? Have a great day.